This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA Podcast. And welcome to our October 21st, 2021 show. And coming to you once again from Western Pennsylvania. Want to thank our digital audience for coming out in force today. And of course, our real audience who's been staying with us through the years. Hey, welcome to our new listeners as well. And today's podcast is called Casino Tales Make It All Worthwhile. And we're going to share some of our best casino tales with you. And of course, if you have some of your own casino tales to share, please just give our voicemail a call. And that is 1-724-519-4556. 1-724-519-4556. Yeah, we'll give you 5 minutes to hear what your casino tale is all about. Okay, we're ready to start the show, so hang on to your seats.
You're going to speak up.
Well, if you go to casinos at all, you probably have come across some incredible sights. You know, some really weird things. And some things you enjoy talking about and telling your friends about. Like, oh my goodness, you just can't believe what happened last night or yesterday at the casino. And here we go. So a boomer, a middle-aged plus 10 years guy, hits, I think, $1,500 on a Wheel of Fortune. And when the attendant comes to, you know, give him the check and have him sign the forms because that's more than $1,200, which is taxable, he starts to yell, "Hurry up, hurry up. Do it quick before my wife finds out I won. Hurry up, do it quick." So she does speed it up. But unfortunately for this guy, his wife came and said, "Hey, what did you win? I see you're getting a hand pay." And he said, $1,500. And he said, well, she said, "I want half." So he cashed his check, you know, minus the taxes that had been taken out. And she went on to blow. She went on to blow this money in the next hour and a half. And, you know, he said to me, "Well, I wanted to tell you, Coach Fab, I won $1,500 yesterday, but it turned out it was only $700. Hey, it isn't that something. Yeah, we've said this over and over again, and it's so true, you know, and it's hard. It's hard to quit when you're ahead. And then there's this thing that a lot of people have in their heads. It's not my money. It's a casino's money. And this guy's saying, "I told her, it's my money. It's not the casino's money." Just the opposite, right? You know, oh, come on. Casino tells, that's a freaking one, you know? It's so hard to beat a casino when you do. You just can't quit when you're ahead. Or maybe you can, and your life partner can't, or your girlfriend or boyfriend can't. Whatever the case, it's an issue. And I often tell this one about the Rio playing craps there. And, you know, sometimes at a craps table, you either have to walk away or it's just frustrating because no matter what you do, it seems like it's the wrong thing to do. You know, you make bets you're accustomed to making and nothing's working. You're throwing dice that sometimes, you know, in the past have been good to you. And, you know, you're sevening out right away and you're going to the don'ts and people make points. You just get so frustrated. So this young guy in his 20s. Or at the Rio, he jumps up on his, he starts screaming, "Vegas is a rip off. And then he crawls up on one of those circles that has a car on top because he lost all his money in craps. And he starts jumping up and down, you know, the slot machines are around his car. And he starts jumping up and down on the car. And he's putting dents in the roof of the car. And, you know, security comes running. And the kid's like really a good athlete. And they grab for him and he jumps higher, you know, like he's dunking a basketball. Well, eventually they get him. And he's kicking and screaming, you know, "Vegas is an effing ripoff." And they carry him out of the casino like a log, you know. And all the times I played at the Rio, I never saw that dude again. Oh, my. But there are times when it's all about winning that makes it so exciting, and it makes it that you'll never forget this. Oh, my goodness. And so recently at the Mohegan Sun in Connecticut, this is what happened. Now, let me explain to our non-craps playing listeners that hard numbers, there's 4, 6, 8, and 10. It means there's only one way to make a hard four, and that's with two twos instead of, you know, 3-1 or 1-3. There's similar, you can understand then, you know, a hard six is just 3-3. A hard eight is just 4-4, and a hard 10 is just 5-5. If you roll, let's say you put $10 on a hard 10, and you roll a couple rolls later a 4-6, that's a 10. Well, then you lose that hard waste bet. If you roll a 7, of course, you 7 out after the point's been established, you lose all your bets. So, you know, some people call playing the hard number sucker bets because of that, because it's so hard to get a hard number. Now, it's not a one-roll bet. It stays out there. So if you're new to craps, you place this money and you just kind of keep your fingers crossed. And a lot of people will bet just the regular 6 first. And then, in addition, they'll play the hard 6 as well, so it's kind of like a hedge. So if a regular 6 comes up like 5-1, you know, they'll win the place bet on the regular 6 and lose the hard number. So they kind of, you know, wash each other that way. That's probably the best way to do it. But anyway, a man at the table has a $350 bet on the hard 6. Now, the hard 6 pays 9-1. If I, you know, if I had my $10 on it, you know, you'd win $90. Okay, so it's 9-1. So he has $350. All right, that's a big risk. I think it's a big risk. I don't know what he had on a regular 6. Maybe nothing. Maybe he had $200 on a regular 6. I don't know. But anyway, the hard 6 came up. So he wins 350 times 9. So he leaves the 350 there and he adds to it. So now it's $500. All right, and the game goes on. And again, a regular 6 doesn't come up or a 7 doesn't come up. And the shooter, just a young guy, hits a hard 6 again. And so it's 500 times 9, $500 times 9. He already won $350 times 9. So he does something that I probably wouldn't have done, but hats off to him. He takes that win, which is substantial, and he presses the hard 6 up to $1,500. And, of course, the casino had a $1,000 limit, so they had to ask the box man, and the box man said, yeah, we'll take it. You know, pit boss agrees, thinking the casino is going to get their money back. 3 or 4 rolls later, with $1,500 on a hard 6, it comes up again. 9 times 1,500. So this dude wins $20,000. Oh, my God. Overall, what a story. And it really happened. I'm not exaggerating. I checked this story out with Mohegan Sun. Oh, my goodness. I can imagine everybody at the craps tables for the next couple of weeks will be playing hard numbers up the butt. You know what I mean? Oh, boy. So you were at that table and you didn't play the hard 6 when this dude was winning all that money. You're probably thinking, what the hell? You know, I should have joined that parade. And I have a story like that, you know. So I'm at the Rio. I used to play there a lot before it really got as seedy as it has been lately. Oh, I'm sorry. That's just my feelings about it. So anyway, I do like their pool complex, though, at the Rio. I do. So anyway, I'm at a crowded table when a guy squeezes in and he yells, Grandma told me to bet $500 on the 5, right? Which is one of the point numbers, you know, but it wasn't the point of that game. But so he throws out $500. He interrupts the game, but the damn dealer takes the bet because it's $500, you know. So I'm thinking, I'll be damned, the next number is going to be a 7, you know, so I'm going to lose and he's going to lose because he delayed the shooter, you know, very rudely. But he's, come on, Grandma, $500 on the 5, Grandma. He's yelling and screaming. So I thought he may be a little bit intoxicated. I'll be damned. The next roll, the dice hit the corner and start to spin around, and I'm looking straight down on him, you know. And I have no money on the 5. And I see a 3 and a 2. It's a 5. Holy smoke, give me a break. So the dude takes his chips and walks away, and I'm thinking, why did I jump on that one? Holy cow. From now on, yell out a number, and Coach Mapp's going to jump on it, man. That taught me a lesson. Congratulations to Grandma, wherever you are. You know, and as you visit casinos, you know, you see people sometimes, they're just so happy. You know, couples, they're just so happy. Then you see people that are really angry, you know. And sometimes you see arguments between, you know, you're thinking husbands and wives, boyfriends and girlfriends, groups of friends. It doesn't matter about the gender. We're not allowed to talk about that anyway, right? So, hey, you know, there's some angry people. And this is a lesson about criticizing people at the table where you are. So, you know, if you know craps a little bit, there's a pass line, there's a don't pass line. And basically, make it simple, if you're on the don't pass line and you win, that means the pass line better lost. And if you're on the pass line and you win, that means the don't pass better lost. And so we're at a Southern Indiana casino in Lawrenceburg, Indiana. It's called the Hollywood. And it's a large, large riverboat casino. You know, some parts of the riverboat casinos now can be on land, too. So this is a little bit dated, this story, but there's a great lesson in it. And the table's relatively hot, but there's one guy. He's putting $7,500 on the don'ts, and then he's also playing don't pass, you know. And he's getting killed, man, you know. Well, guy beside him says to him, "You're an ass to play the don't pass. You're an ass." So this guy looks like, the guy that's talking looks like he's about 30-something, but the kid he's talking to, he's a buffed out 22 or 23-year-old, you know? And he just unloads on this guy. Boom, 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 boom. He's like a professional boxer, man. What a flurry. And he knocks the guy down, and when the guy goes down, the guy that criticized him, he starts kicking him in the head, man. You know, well, the guy that went down, I don't know him, but he was drinking beer, and his beer goes all over me. You know, holy hell! So anyway, security gets there and they tackle the young guy, all right, and they handcuff him. And then there's an ambulance service comes in and picks up the other guy. So when that confusion dies down, you know, the craps table didn't start back up yet, I called a pit boss over, you know, and I said, "Hey, look at me, man. Look what happened to me. What's going to happen? What are you going to do for me?" And he says, "Yeah, we saw that. We're going to come over and talk to you," like he was, you know. But he said, "We're going to take you into our store, and then we're going to give you, you can buy whatever shirt you want. Just buy whatever shirt you want. Doesn't matter how much it costs. Buy what you want." You know, so that's how I got a free golf shirt. A $60 golf shirt, because my Notre Dame t-shirt got beer spilled on it. Oh, you never know, but, you know, never criticize somebody else's play. Like, what do you care, man? What do you care how much somebody wins or loses, you know? Don't ever criticize. You know, in this day and age, it's just not. Just keep it to yourself, you know? Laugh about it later, all right? It's a good lesson. I know Janie wants to share a couple of her best stories, and then we're going to get into craps talk after Janie. So hang on. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. It's Jane. I wanted to tell you about a trip we had one time when we went to Las Vegas. We were staying at the Frontier. That was a favorite haunt of ours. We really liked it there. We were treated well there. The owner, Phil Ruffin, comped so well. But we were there one time, and I woke up. Oh, I wasn't sure why I woke up. I just woke up in the middle of the night, and I decided to look out the window just to see if it was still clear. It rarely ever rains there. But as I'm looking out the window, I see all these fire trucks and police vehicles and red lights, no sirens, but I see all these vehicles and they're pulling into the Frontier facility. So, and I don't know what to make of that. Nobody had called us. Nobody came knocking on the door, which usually happens if they want you to evacuate or there's a fire warning or some kind of alarm system. So, and this was not too long after that big MGM fire in Las Vegas that I forget how many people perished in that fire. But so I wake up the coach and say, "Hey, look out here. Look at the window. There must be a fire downstairs." He said, "Oh, no, you know, nobody called." So I called on to the front desk and they said, "Oh, yeah, there was a fire, but it's out now." And I said, well, how bad was it? Oh, it wasn't bad. It's just a lot of smoke. So I said to him, okay, let's get dressed. We're going downstairs. So we go down. We go in the elevator, even though you're not supposed to use them if there is a fire. But we go down, and the casino is totally filled with smoke. But I did talk to a couple of the firemen there, and they told me it was from the one restaurant there, I think the Panda King or one of those, a fry or something.
It's always amazing how these casinos will just keep the place open even when there's a fire in a restaurant right inside. I mean, there's still people at the machines.
Oh, right. It was as though, even amidst all the smoke, it didn't affect a whole lot of people. But what bothered me was, as I'm talking to the front desk and looking out the window, there's still fire vehicles coming in. So, there was a little bit of a mixed message there, but... You know, fire is always a concern. I think I would just say that when you do go to a casino, and they're really pretty good. I've been assured by most of them now, about the sprinkler systems that are there and the early warning signs or the automatic calls to your room and then the alarms that are in the halls or even loudspeakers that come into the halls. We've been in several where there have been warnings and we didn't, and one where we had to evacuate. But so just keep that in mind and be ahead of that.
Well, this is sort of biblical because you did fire. Now, the next one you're going to do is a flood.
Well, right, yes. There was the Ohio River flooded one spring, which isn't unusual, but we had reservations at both Belterra and at Rising Star, which at that time was the Grand Victoria. So no one called to say it was canceled. We checked. They were still open.
They're both riverboats.
Yes, they're both riverboats. So we weren't sure at first, and they're right there by Cincinnati, Cross River from Cincinnati. So we're driving into, it's daylight, when we came to Rising Star, we had to go through the town of Aurora, which is right on the Ohio River, and there were streets blocked off. We had to do a little bit of a detour and go around the flooded parts and go back to the river road then. But as we're driving, approaching Rising Star, we looked at each other and said, wow, look how different that looks, because the boat was so high in the water. The smokestacks were entirely visible, as was part of the boat, which had never happened before in all the years that we had gone there. So we get there, and we were just told you can't go out on the decks. You know, you can't be out there at any time. They were all closed. The doors weren't locked, but we weren't supposed to go out. So nobody did. And then when we went to Belterra the next day to stay there, the water, it sits back a little bit, and it has a little protected cove area. So the water was really high there and very rapid. And while we were on the boat, here are these two guys who had been drinking. One challenged the other one and said, I dare you to, I'll give you $100 if you jump off the deck. Well, which, that's not allowed. That's a crime. And so he said, oh, I'm going to do it. And everybody was saying, don't do it, don't do it. Well, because the water was so treacherous. In fact, it was even leaking a little bit in where the boat hits the land there at the Belterra. It changed the whole ramp. Instead of being where the ramp went down, the ramp was going up now because of the water level. Push the boat up and everything with it. So anyway, the gentleman jumped off the deck, the top deck.
Yeah.
And it was surprising he wasn't killed in doing that. But and then he was arrested. As soon as he got, they made sure he was okay and he got out of the water. He was arrested and had a $1,000 fine. So
that was a bad bet. He won $100 and lost $1,000.
Right. Well, there aren't so many riverboats anymore where that's a problem, but it can be. And they had such high water in the last few years that a couple times it was closed. The Belterra closed. So keep your eyes open for the floodwaters, too. Power outages. Yeah, I don't think you'd think a whole lot about that, but we've been in two casinos where that happened. One was, speaking of the rising sun, one was there. We were playing, it was unusual. He wasn't playing craps. We were both sitting at slot machines playing, and all of a sudden the power went out and all the doors closed. So we couldn't move, and then the loudspeaker came on and said for everybody just to stay where you are. And everything was okay, but there was a slight power outage, so they'd have the power on as soon as they could. Well, it didn't really take very long. We were there 10 or 15 minutes. But after that, we continued to play. And then one of the workers in the casino came around and gave us slips for a free buffet that night for the inconvenience. And that buffet that night happened to be, it was seafood night. So it was a great, great buffet.
It was great. It was great. But I think
and
they
then
said,
the other. Well, let me tell you first about the other. The other major power outage was there were two of them, two different ones at the Rio in Las Vegas. The first one we encountered, we were sitting at a slot machine again together playing poker, and we had just put in a $100 bill, and then the power went out. So I said to Coach, I said, you know, there's a disclaimer on the machines that says if there is a power outage or some problem that the machine goes down, or it says in reference to the fact that the casino is not responsible for what you've put into the machine. Not they don't have to pay you back if it's a mechanical failure, which he didn't know. He doesn't play slots and never had, so he hadn't read all that on them, but I did. So we were just a little nervous thinking, gee, we might lose this $100. And so we were just waiting for it to come back on or for something to happen. Well, after probably 20 minutes, it did come back on. And everything resumed as normal. And I haven't looked lately at any of the machines to see if they have the disclaimers on them. But that's something maybe you want to do.
Well, for me, ever since that day, I never put big money into a video poker machine like that because I'm always afraid there'll be a power shortage and it just, you know, goes out.
Or something else with
or
the
something
machine.
Else. Yeah, yeah, a malfunction.
They do have malfunctions.
And, you know, the casino laws always favor the casino. That's
right.
The other thing.
Right, you're not going to be favored. But with all the electronics with these new machines, they pretty much can keep track of everything. And I haven't heard of anybody having any issues with that. The other power outage was one summer in Las Vegas when we were at the Rio, and it was those really hot days, like of 112, 113. It was so hot that the town actually put the power electricity on a power grid, and then they would shut certain grids off at certain times so that they didn't have to lose power ever to the hospitals or to the airport. So we happened to be in one of these, I think they call them rolling outages. And we were one at the Rio, and I was in the gift shop. Fab was playing craps. Now, that was an experience because it gets dark, and they shut all the gates immediately. I couldn't leave the gift shop. It's so dark at first until the auxiliary power gets on.
Yeah, and at
on.
The craps table, they said, cover your chips. You couldn't even see the table. That's how dark it got.
Yeah, you have to watch. So eventually, the auxiliary power was on. I was able to come out of the gift shop, but we were on one of the top floors, and, you know, I thought, I'm not walking up 50 flights of stairs here. I don't think I can. So we had to wait. They wouldn't let you use the elevators even probably for an hour or more, but it eventually did come back on, and I don't know that they do that anymore because we've been there when it's been pretty hot, and that hasn't happened.
Well, maybe they improved the whole situation.
Probably, yeah, they just got more power grids going.
Well, when you think about all the times we've spent in casino resorts, hotels, and casinos in general, I mean, I'm sure we left dozens of stories out, but I think it really makes it worthwhile, you know, because these are things you just talk about when people ask you, what's it like to gamble
right.
Go to casinos?
Well, Yes, and as we've stayed at so many casinos over so many years, and the outcomes have always been good, I'd have to say. And I'm going to bring up one more. The first time we went to Las Vegas, I think was like 1980, and we were sitting in the Keno Lounge at the Tropicana.
Yeah, we admit we've been going to Vegas for over 40 years.
Yeah. Well, anyway, yes, it does. Well, here we get up to the room again, and we're again on the 28th floor or something. It's not like we could just walk to the back to the Keno Lounge quickly, but I realize I had like a clutch wallet. No, I didn't have a big purse with me, which I usually do, but I had this clutch wallet, and I must have put it on the chair, and I said to Coach, I'm pretty sure I left my wallet on the chair down there. And he said, oh my goodness, how could you do that? I said, well, and everything's in it. They didn't really have safes in the rooms back then or anything. So he flies down, and here, sure enough, it was still on the chair there.
Yeah, by itself with nobody around. And, you know, I hope that's because people were good. You know,
right.
Or maybe we were just lucky.
I think we were lucky, but I do think I talked to a woman working the Keno Lounge the next day, and she said, well, we've had that happen before, she said, and people will turn it in. She said, we do have cameras that will show it, and we can't always do anything about that, but we try. And I would have to say that the casinos really do try to take care of most of your issues.
Thanks for your stories, Jane. Appreciate it. We'll be right back for Crabs Talk.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome to another segment of Crabs Talk. Hey, let's talk about a pressing system that's becoming very trendy, especially in Las Vegas. I have a grandson who's a dealer on the Strip, and this latest information comes from him. He asked me not to say what casino he works in, only because he really can't talk to people about the podcast while he's at the table. So anyway, this is trending in Las Vegas. I think I like it too. But I have to say, anytime we talk about a way to bet in Craps Talk, there's no guarantees. You know, it all depends on what the dice are doing. But I like this one because I'm kind of a lazy presser. Like, I sometimes don't think about it. I think about collecting the money more than I do about pressing up my place bets. But I like this one because I'll refer to it as 18-15-10. 18-15-10. And you can go into it without playing the pass line at all. You know, so you could even think about, if you wanted to hedge it, you could play the don't pass and use this too. So how would it work? Well, again, you know, you can tailor it the way you would like it, but this is the way he explained it to me. It's very rare anywhere, not just Las Vegas, to find a $5 table. I hope they come back. I really do. But, you know, you're happy to find a $10 table because it's some places are 15 and above only. But a $10 table, you can start by just making what everybody would call a good place bet, if you're going to place bet, a $12 bet on the 6 and a $12 bet on the 8. And that's it. Your commitment to this pressing system is tied directly to that. Just $24. No, just $24. You know, you lose it four times in a row, you know, you're out 96 bucks, friend. But anyway, so what happens when you get a hit with a $12 bet? Well, you win $14. So what you immediately do on your first hit of the 6 or the 8 is to press each one up one unit to $18. So now you have $36 on the table, and you have some money left over. You know, you only use 12 of the $14, so throw it on a hard number. You know, throw it on the 6 and the 8, whatever you choose it. Throw it on a hard number. All right, so hopefully soon afterwards you have $36 on the table, $24 was part of your stake. You know, you didn't take it and collect it, but if it hits again and you win $21 on an $18 bet, you place the 5 for $10 and the 9 for $10. There you go. Throw that extra money on a hard number again, or press up one of the hard numbers you already put money on. So now you have an $18 6 and $18
$8, a $10, $5, and a $10, $9. And let's just hesitate 1 second. You're looking at the table, you have $56 on the table. $24 out of that $56 was your original stake. But if you're way behind, I mean, you know, take it. I wouldn't to use this system, but, you know, again, the choice is always yours. The options are always yours. So you have $56 now on the felt. That's more than you probably normally have, but you just started with 24. And on the next hit of a 6 and 8 or the numbers you had just placed, the 5 and 9, all you're going to do is press the 5 and 9, one unit, $5, and the 9, $5. And with the leftover money, again, press up the hard ways. And you now have $66 on the felt. And again, you know, you're looking at your money, so you could take it down and call it quits, or you can try to, you know, get every number placed, because on the next hit, and all the hits are going to enable you to do this, you're going to place the 4 for $10, and you're going to place the 10 for $10. And so looking at the felt now, you have a $10 4, a $15 5, an $18 6, an $18 8, a $15 9, and a $10 10. So what do? You can take it all down, and you have 86 minus your original 24 as profit, or you can just keep going. How many times? At Rocky Gap, I mentioned in the Facebook group, I went too far. I had $120 profit. I didn't take it down, and because I wanted to get to, you know, 86 more. Man, you know, get over 200. And I lost that $86. I still finished up with 120, but I had that on the rack. But, you know, but you could, who knows? And then the other question with this 18, 15, 10 pressing system is, shooter makes the point. What do? You want to start over again? Or you want to stay where you are? Now think about that. Do you want to start over again? Because your stake money was only $24. All right. So if you start over again, you're securing some profit because you're going to take the profit from that run, or you can keep it up there and hopefully you'll win more because you're still only going to lose $24 of your own stake. The other money is yours too, but you know how people think. You know. So one more time. What you want to do is go to the table. You don't have to play the pass line at all, but you certainly can. Or you can play the don't pass, and you can use this as a hedge and more. Or just do it the way we're talking about it. Just place numbers and forget the come out roll. Okay, so if you're going to do that, I would suggest not placing a number to the second roll, right? Because, you know, a quick seven and out on that first roll, that sours anybody. So you place the 6 and 8 for $24. Okay, when one of those hits, you're going to increase those 6 and 8, one unit, to 18 each. Okay. When you get a second hit on the 6 and 8, you now have $21. You place the 5 and 9. The next hit on any number, all you're doing is pressing the 5 and 9, one unit, to 15. And with the leftover money, again, you keep throwing it on the hard ways. And then finally, if you get a hit when you have 15 on the 5, 15 on the 9, 18 on the 6, 18 on the 8, you place the 4 and the 10, and then you have them all placed for $86, 24 of which was your original stake. And you could see on a hot table, you're going to start to make some real money here, okay, very quickly. But that is all up to you and the choices you have. Anytime, look down on the felt, see how much money you have. Look at the hard way, see how much money you have. You get a couple hard way hits, that increases everything because you keep pressing that up. It's a nice way to press. 18, 15, 10, that's your destination. And you want everything placed across the board. And all you really risk, you can argue, is $24 of your original stake to get there. So there you go. And you can pull out at any time, you know. So let's say you get $18 on the 6, $18 on the 8, $36. You get two $21 hits. You say, you know what? I'm taking everything down. I'm off to the next shooter. Okay? Until the shooter makes his point and I'll start over again. That's all up to you. But my grandson says this is trending. There's more and more people pressing this way at $10 tables. Hey, and I liked it. And I walked, you know, out of the Rocky Gap casino part to the hotel, $120 up, you know? That's not a bad trip. And I had a chance to talk to some listeners. We had three people that we played with there. So it was a lot of fun. And everybody won a little bit. They didn't all bet the same way I did. But, you know, it was good enough, finally, after a nice roll of one of our friends, to make it productive. But, boy, I went down early, and I was a little nervous. You know how that is. You have this scheme all picked out, and all of a sudden you get down. And you think, what the smoke here, man? Placing all the numbers to start with is much more riskier than just placing the 6 and 8. It can be more productive, too, but it's also much riskier. I would never put $86 on to start a game, all right? I'm just not that kind of player. $24, I can do. And that's my thinking. All right, thank you so much. What a memorable day this was for us to talk about our casino trips over the years. And I hope you followed that and enjoyed that. And don't hesitate to give us your own. Just call our voicemail at 1-724-519-4556. We'll give you 5 minutes to tell us about your casino capers over the years and all the fun things, weird things, memorable things that you have seen and encountered. And again, Casinos USA is still a place where every day is Saturday. Thanks for listening. See you in a couple weeks.